He's been mighty good to us tonight. And I'd invite you to turn to Revelation and chapter number 20, right here, 21. We'll be in chapter 21 tonight. And forgive me, I'm going to preach off this iPad again. I'm trying to figure this thing out. So I'll probably just take this thing out and go ahead and try to get used to it for a minute. But here we are in Revelation chapter 21, and as we've went through all of our study over the past 8 weeks, we've found out a lot of stuff about the coming of Christ. We found out a lot of things, but thank God one thing I did find out is the King is coming. Amen. Yeah, man, and when He comes, I'm going with Him. And then I'm coming back with Him. And then I'm going back with Him. So there's a lot of trails that we're going to be through. But it ain't going to be no trials in that. They're going to be all trails with Jesus. And we riding horses. I'm talking about we riding horses. We riding clouds. We doing a lot of riding in this thing too. But thank God I'm going to do it all with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 21. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to read all of it for the sake of time. Because I am going to read all of it for the sake of time. Because we need to read this whole chapter. And you may stand if you like to. Chapter 21, the Bible says in Revelation, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Let me take a time out for just one moment and tell you something. Why did John put there is no more sea? If you look in your scriptures, you find there that he put there was no more sea in it. Now, does that look out of place to anybody? Does it look out of really? It kind of looks out of place there if we get real in reality of things. He's talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Why has he got to mention the sea? Well, you got to understand, John at this time was sitting on the Isle of Patmos, which is in the middle of the sea. If he looked to the left, guess what he saw? Sea. If he looked to the right, guess what he saw? Sea. If he looked behind him, he saw sea. And in front of him, he saw sea. And what that's the type of is there's waves that's crashing in. All he can hear is the sea. All he can see is the sea. I mean, I could preach on this. I feel like preaching tonight. Thank God. But all he saw, the waves come up, the waves go back down. And in our life, that's all we see. We see waves go up, our life get good, and then our life go back down. Things get hard, things get easy. But thank God in heaven, there will be no more sea. Yeah, man. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And now I want you to know who that's talking about, friend. That's talking about Jesus himself. The tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. This tabernacle has a he. Friend, it said that he is a personal tabernacle, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. This is you we're talking about here. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Then the Bible said, and God, I'm talking about the best tear wiper you've ever seen in your life. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, thank God. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Amen. Brother Cecil, he's got two legs now, friend. That ain't going to be on oxygen up in heaven. Because he's going to have all the air that he needs. Friend, let me tell you something. I feel God in this place. Amen. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. And he said unto me, it is done. It is done, friend. It is done. Everything's done. From the beginning to the end, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely, friend. It doesn't say it costs you a dime. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's personal right there. Amen. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then the Bible says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither and I will show thee the bride. My goodness, it says the Lamb's wife. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad about it. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Let me take another time out. God's helping me right now. I just want to help you for a second. You'll read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. John says, I am in Patmos. And then he says, I am in the Spirit. That's been two places at one time. And here he's still in Patmos, friend. But God carries him in the Spirit and shows him all the things that we can see. And I tell you, you may be in your Patmos, friend, but there is a spirit that's inside of me that pulls me out of that Patmos and takes me to a good place, thank God. He said, having the glory of God in her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high. This is the dimensions of heaven. Listen, and he had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Hey, there's a lot to this, friend. There's a lot to the number 12. There's a lot to the number 7. There's a lot to all of this. But anyways, we ain't going to get into numerology tonight. The Bible says, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. That is to say 1,500 miles up, 1,500 miles to your left, 1,500 miles to your right. That's a long ways, friend. You ever look 1,500 miles up? You probably have. You walked outside, you look up, you'll probably see 1,500 miles. But you ain't, no you won't. You won't see 1,500 miles. I can't see that far. But in heaven, you'll have new eyes and you'll see it all. Thank God. The Bible says, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Possibly a cube. And he measured the wall thereof at 144 cubits. That is to say 216 feet. And according to the measure of man, that is of the angel, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, now I apologize if I can't pronounce all this. The second, sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, the beryl. The ninth, the topaz. The tenth, I can't pronounce that one. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl. That's a big pearl, friend. And the street of the gold city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass, like a mirror. And I saw no temple therein. And, oh man, God just helped me. Listen to me. He just said it's transparent glass. Why would you want to see yourself for all the time? Because you're going to be just like Him. Everywhere you look is going to glorify God. Amen. Yay, man, I'm glad. I don't know what God's doing tonight, but He's doing something. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty means you ain't got to go to church, because He is the temple. He is the one that's preaching, and we're going to worship forever, friend. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the moon, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gate of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Then they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's me, friend. That's me, and I'm going there. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Bless it tonight, God. Help us, and I pray, God, you get every ounce of glory out of this place tonight. We lift up a voice. We give you tongue worship. You do all those things. Lift worship tonight. Lord, I pray, God, we thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I gotta calm down for a second, friend. I tell y'all something. Thank God. I read of this story not long ago, but I want to share it with you. And I read it, and I believe it to go perfectly with you this evening. After the reading, an elderly preacher had always secretly dreaded death. Okay. Now follow me, and was powerless to console others when it come to that who were facing the prospect of death. He was powerless unto them. But I read eventually he moved from the area where he had lived and ministered for most of his adult life. When all the furniture and boxes had been placed in the van, he lingered in the home where his children had been born and where he had enjoyed so many blessed hours of communion with the Lord. Just then, an intimate acquaintance who had been helping with the packing came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Pastor, come with us. Your new home is better than this one." The man didn't know it at the time, but he had preached a powerful sermon to his friend. His words caused the minister to see that his home in heaven would be far superior to the things of this world. After that, the pastor no longer dreaded dying. Friend, let me just tell y'all something. You got a home down here. You have a place to rest your head. You're blessed. Amen. But there ain't nothing down here that compares to what's waiting ahead. Nothing down here. And as we come to the end of this series, Lord being, I don't know, we know there's a verse 20, chapter 22. I wanted to kindly preach on maybe about hell some as well, because there's two places you can go. But I believe God has His way in it, and I'll follow Him whichever way we may or may not go into chapter 22. But tonight I can think of no better way to end this, if it were to end tonight, this series, 8-week series that we've been having, or 9-week, that this series would be no better place to end than to preach about heaven. Amen. The blessed home of the redeemed. Amen. Thank God that this blessed home that we're talking about tonight is waiting on the children of God. Amen. That is that it's far better than anything you've ever had down here. Far better than anything you've ever had down here. But I'd like to go with John and join him for a little while as he records the sights and the sounds of that celestial city above. And as he does that, we call this place heaven. We call this place home. Oh my. I'd like to share some of what the Bible teaches about this place for a few moments. I'll try to be done. But the place where all of the saved who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb will go to this place. You know, you already got a seat prepared for you and a mansion in heaven awaiting you because you are being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because you've done that. Let's look at this through these gates for a few moments, and let's catch a look at a place called heaven. Number one, we see tonight, heaven is a genuine place. The Bible says in verses 1 through verse 3, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God shall be with them and be their God." That's enough shouting words right there, friend. Heaven is as real as the place you sit in today. It's just as real as this place we sit in. In fact, there are really three heavens. I know this theology, but follow. First heaven, there is a terrestrial heaven. And this refers to the atmosphere of earth and air above us. Here. Okay? Secondly, there is a telestial heaven. And this is where the stars and the planets are. This is scripture, I promise you. It's scripture. Then, thirdly, there is a celestial heaven. Oh my. This is the place where God lives. Amen. And in this place, the place that the saints of God dream about. But one day, my dream's gonna come true, friend. This is the place we long to be. The place that we call home. This is going to be my home, friend. Amen. Heaven is a genuine place. It's a real place. John was taken there in his vision. You read that in John, Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. He went to this place and seen this place. Every bit of it. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, if you don't believe that, then there ain't no heaven. Yeah, man, it's just as real. The heavenly land is as real as Saluda is, friends. And you in Saluda right now. It's as real as this place has ever been. It's a real place where God lives, who we will join Him one day. And when we get there, we'll find out heaven is real. It's a genuine place, friend. It's a resting place. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter number 4. Let me turn over there for just one second. Yeah, man, it feels good in here tonight. What y'all think? Yeah, man. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works which were finished from the foundation of the world, for He spake in a certain place the seventh day on the wise, and God did rest. That's the third time it's said in two verses. The seventh day from all His works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. That's the fourth time. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entereth not in because of unbelief. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, fifth time, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's the sixth time. For he that is entered into rest the seventh time, he also has ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest eight times, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You say, what's that talking about? Well, what that's simply talking about is this place is a resting place. As God rested on the seventh day, when He created the whole place and talked this place into existence, He rested on the seventh day. And one day when we leave from this place, we're going to be able to rest in heaven. We're going to rest in heaven. Heaven is a place of rest. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 11 there. Let me turn over there for just a second. I should have just stayed there in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 13. I think so. Verse 13. Let me find my place here. Bear with me. Everybody all right? Yeah, man, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that such say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Amen. Abraham sought a country that was not built with hands. That's what he said. Yeah, man, this place is a place that in this world we are strangers and pilgrims to this world. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. There's treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I tell y'all tonight, this is not my home. And I ought not act like the ones out there. I ought not live like the ones out there. And because this is not my home. And when Jesus came here, He did not live like anybody, and we are made in His image. We have the same spirit that Jesus had inside of Him when He was upon this earth. He told those people, when Mary come up to Him after He died and after He rose from the dead, Mary came to Him, and Mary Magdalene, that is, she was the first one that seen Him. She supposing Him to be a gardener that she didn't know, and He said, Mary, and she said, God. She knew who He was then. He called me by His name, and that's just what it was. But He said, Mary, don't touch Me, for I have not yet ascended into the Father yet. But He had the Spirit of God inside of Him at that point. And why could He not give us a Comforter in the Old Testament? Why could a Comforter not come down in the New Testament to the disciples and all that? Well, let me just tell you why. Because He had that Comforter inside of Him, and He had to go back up to heaven, and He said, when I go up to heaven, I will send you a Comforter. Yeah. That's pure Bible, friend. Yeah. He had the Spirit of God inside of Him, and that's what I got living inside of me tonight. Yeah. And I ought to live like it. Right. Every day I ought to live like it. Thank God. It's a place of rest, friend. Yeah. It is a resting place. Yeah, man, I'm glad about it. You know, but when we enter in the gates of that city, we'll lay down the burdens of this existence, and we'll lay down the hard times, the troubles, and we'll be at peace and at rest forevermore. And when we get there, we will be home. But right now, we have to be laborers. We have to labor for the cause of Christ. But in there, all of our labors, our cares, our worries, our trials will be set aside, not to be brought back up to us anymore. Everything that hindered us upon this side of eternity will be gone forevermore. Thank God it's a resting place. It's a real place. It's a resting place. It's a residing place. Now hold on 1 second. Heaven is a place to make our homes. Right? It is a place to make our homes. The angels live in heaven. In fact, every glimpse into that country features the presence of an angelic host. We're going to be like Him. And so God the Father dwells inside of them. Psalm chapter 11 verse 4 tells that. And but the redeemed of the ages will also live in heaven with the Lord God. And there, the night before Jesus went to the cross, the night before He went to the cross, He gave His disciples a glorious promise. A glorious promise He gave His disciples, and He told them that He was going to prepare a place for Him. He was going to prepare a place in His Father's house. We know that. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. We know that what that verse has said. I hope you do. I hope you do. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, thank God. It doesn't say that. But thank God, I will come and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas looked at Him and said, Father, whither Thou goest? We don't know whither Thou goest. And He tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Yeah, man, it is a place of residing. It's a residing place. It's a place that when we arrive there, we will be at home. We will be in our mansion that was prepared with My name on it. My mansion ain't going to have your name on it. Yeah, man, and God ain't going to get it mixed up either. There ain't no separation. There ain't no nothing there. Only thing's going to happen is that when I walk through the gates of heaven, there will be a Savior there who I'm going to stay at His feet for a while. So if I go before you and you're looking for Me when I get there, when you get there, just look for Me at the feet of Jesus. Because that's where I'm going to be, friend. I'm going to be worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the blessed and only potentate, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the sweet rose of Sharon, all of those things. I'm going to worship Him there. and I'm going to be at His feet. And thank God, but I want to worship Him there. Here. Amen. I want to worship Him here. We'll be in our forever home. Thank God, heaven is a genuine place. It's a real place. It's a resting place. It's a residing place. Then secondly, tonight, we read verses 9 through 26, verse 1 through 7. I'm not going to read them, but we're going to kind of go through them here. We see, secondly, heaven is a glorious place. Mm-hmm. Number one, it's glorious in its beauty. Hey man, never had there been a city described like this city. Amen. To attempt to describe its glories, it's impossible for the mortal man. Impossible for me to describe all of its glories there. Paul must have had this in mind when he penned down these words of 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. I'm going to turn over there and read that verse real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 9. The Bible simply says this there. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. And then there's three words. There's three words on the end of that. God that loved him. Amen. Friend, there's a whole lot of people who claim the name but remain the same. Yeah, who claim to love God but surely don't act like they love God. Looks like they love the world a whole lot more than they love God. Friend, you can't even get people into the house of God for 6 hours a week. Let me just tell y'all something. There's 168 hours in a week. You work 40 of them. Right? Most people work 40 plus hours a week. Most people. You work 40 hours a week and you're dedicated to working 40 hours a week. Most of the time. You come to church 6 hours a week, if you're lucky. Here you might come to it about 8, I know. But most churches, 6 hours a week. Okay? And so if we sum that all up and find a good estimate on things, we find that we give less than 3% of our time in a week in the house of God. Something wrong with that. How is something wrong with that, preacher? Well, we know that they went daily in the Word in Acts chapter number 2. They were daily in the temple. We know Anna went daily to the temple. And then we know this. In heaven, this is a new one, I just got this one now. In heaven, there's a temple there. He has a name, and His name is Jesus. And we'll be there all the time. So we might ought to get a little fired up about being in the house of God 3 times a week, friend. And because one of these days, we're going to be there all of the time. We might all well get used to it. Hey, we're having church tomorrow night and the next night too if y'all want to come. Amen. Listen to me. All I'm saying is that the house of God ought to be an important thing for the child of God. Amen. We're supposed to assemble ourselves together and so much more as we see the day approaching. Amen. The day's approaching, friend. And we ought to get in on what God's doing. Amen. It's glorious in its beauty. There's no way that I can describe this city in all of its glory, though. No possible way, but I do want to mention 3 quick thoughts. We see its creation. Notice the verse 5 where the Bible says this, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make. It's creation. He said, I make. This is a city built by God Himself. Amen. He created it. He formed it. He furnished it. He done all those things. And in this city that bears the stamp of His power and His personality, He built a city that reflects His glory, that reflects His beauty, that reflects the wealth of God. Hey, you think you're struggling about things and God's got enough money to build the gates of heaven, friend? He don't need your help with building things. He'll do it. We just got to trust in Him. Amen. He's got eternally wealth, friend. I promise you, I was talking to somebody the other day. I think it was JD. I was talking to him this. If all of us went to our banks tomorrow and said, I don't have a whole lot of money in my bank. But if we went over there and said, I want to get all of our money out of the banks. probably just all of us right here. If we all had the same bank, and we went over there and said, I want to get all of our money out of the bank, they'd probably be like, we ain't got it. He told me, I don't know, but he told me that that's what started the Great Depression. So, if we look at it this way, there's not enough money upon this earth to fund all of us. There ain't. But there's enough money in heaven, and I'm talking spiritual, friend. God can speak it in His tongue, and He got it. So why are you worried about things? Why are you worried about what God's going to do? He got it. He's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Amen. He's got it. He's got it all the time. And there is no limits to what He can do. None. It'd be a glorious place that the mind cannot comprehend upon this time. We cannot comprehend it. It's creation. He makes it. He made it. Thank God for Him making it. Amen. Then we see its duration. All the cities of the earth will one day crumble and decay. But the Bible says that up there that the moth does not work and the rust will not corrupt this place called heaven. Amen. I'm glad about that, friend. Every building made by the hand of man, one day and constantly they are recreated, they are renovated, they are repaired, all of that, but not heaven. It is a city of such corruption that it will not crumble and it will not decay. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that He gave us an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, uncorruptible, and not made by hands. Us! He said He gave us, and He's talking to the strangers there. If you know anything about the book of 1 Peter, that Peter's speaking to outcasts. He's speaking to pilgrims, to people traveling into a place that they've been kicked out of their home. And they're in a place somewhere out here, and they're scattered. He says, ye strangers scattered abroad. That's one of the first phrases in 1 Peter chapter 1. My point is, he's speaking to the strangers. And I wrote in my Bible, we're not home yet. We're strangers. We're strangers. It's duration, friend. It will not need dusting. It will not need mopping. It will not need vacuuming. Thank God we ain't ever got to do that mess again. Amen. Hey, it won't need any of that stuff, friend. It will never be turned into a slum or bulldozed by somebody else. It will never happen at all. It will stand forever. Amen. This is just your home. The perfect example of what a perfect God can do with His great power. Yeah, man, ain't that the truth? In fact, this city is filled with glory that even eternity itself will not exhaust the glory of God. Even eternity itself will not. I think it's in Ephesians in chapter 2. I try to read Ephesians every day. Chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That's talking about His eternal riches. And if you look up the word eternal, it will tell you that there is no taking away from eternal riches. They're eternal. I'm glad it has a creation by God. It's a duration, then it's examination. This chapter, John tries to describe this city as he examined it. As he looked upon it, he tried to describe it. But notice here some of the things he tells us about this place. I'll go through this fast. Verse 15, the Bible says, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is, and you know the rest of it there. Its size, this city is 1,500 miles square. That's something right there. It's possibly a cube, possibly a pyramid, possibly, I don't know what it is, possibly a sphere, but it would have a diameter larger than the moon. Now imagine this place, okay? Listen to me for just a moment. It is, if we were to set along the East Coast, it would stretch from the Atlantic to Colorado. And then, and from the Canadian border, to the Gulf of Mexico. Is that not big, friend? And think about this. The Bible says it only has one street. That means everybody gets alone. And they won't be wrecking there. Because you can be walking all the time. And you won't even care that you've got to walk all the time. That man John and him walked from one side to the other. Seemed like. I mean, he says he had a reading and measured it. But anyways, the wall stands approximately 216 feet tall. And, you know, beauty is the design of this place, and the glory of God will radiate and be reflected from every surface you look at. Think about that. I mean, it's amazing to me. And then verse 18, at the beginning, in the building of the wall, of it was of jasper. The wall, clear jasper. Then it says, at the end of that, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. Pure gold. Pure gold is transparent. It is. Today, it's transparent. But that's all it's going to be out there. I don't know about you, but if I look at a gold necklace, sometimes it amazes me how clear that thing is. And when I look at it, I'm like I got a tie clip that's gold. It's fake gold. But I look at it and I'm like, this thing is shiny. That's why I don't wear it a whole lot, but this is shiny too. But I'm like, man, that's cool. But that's going to be the street I walk on. You're talking about pavement with pure gold, friend. Hey, man, I don't deserve that. I deserve dirt. Hey, man. But He gives me gold, friend, and I'm glad about it. Then we read in verse 19 and verse 20 about the foundations of it. And I want to read that. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. And the second, and I'm not going to read all those things because y'all going to get crazy with me and I ain't going to be able to pronounce half of them things. But anyways, the foundations of it were something else. It was jasper, clear. It was sapphire, clear blue. Chalcedony. And that color is yellowish green. Now notice all these colors, okay? Notice all these colors. Emerald, deep green. Sardonyx, white with layers of red. Sardius, fiery red. Chrysolite, golden yellow. Beryl, sea green. Topaz, greenish yellow. That Chrysophysus, golden green, jacinth, a violet, and the amethyst is purple. Now think about that. Think about all those colors I've just explained there. The brilliance of the glory as the light from Jesus Christ and the power blazes through the 12 foundations of this city and is reflected by the jasper of this city. And then if we know all this kind of stuff and you do any kind of study, you'll find that every one of those colors are in a rainbow. Oh, God help me.
Amen.
The rainbow still means it is a promise from God. It does not mean it's for the queers in Asheville. Amen. It is for the fact that God created it as a covenant unto man that He would never flood the earth again. And it is still that today. It's a promise from God. And it's in heaven with us too. The city will be a brilliant testimony to the glory of God. Amen. Then we read of the gates. Verse 21. That's some giant pearls, friend. I'm talking these gates are 216 foot tall. I don't know if the whole city is gate, because it's not, because it has walls. I don't know how big the gates are necessarily, but they big gates. And there's one pearl that covers that whole gate. That's all I got to say about it, friend. And then the street, into verse 21. Pure gold. And only one street. Amen. Suffice it to say that this city is far more glorious than anything human mind could ever comprehend. Amen. The best thing a man can do is the necessary preparation to go see it for himself. Amen. That's all I got to say about it. Yeah, man, it's glorious in its beauty, friend. It's glorious in its blessings. I'm trying to hurry, but I'm having a good time while all the glories of heaven mark its place unique from all others in the universe. It isn't the physical attributes of this city that makes it so special. There are two truths mentioned in this text that we find that tell me that heaven is a place that I am looking forward to getting to. Number one, I read over there in verse 22 where the Bible says, "And I saw no temple there, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Verse 3, the Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." The first thing is the presence of God will be there, friend. The presence of God will be there. According to these two verses, when we get to heaven, we are going to see God Himself. Right now, we are separated from Him by the flesh that you and I have on tonight. We're separated from God, but one day we'll stand in His presence, free from sin, free from all cares, free from the flesh, and we will see Him in His glory. Thank God, in that day we'll be able to bow down the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who willingly left heaven above and went to the cross for me. Friend, listen to me, that will be enough for me when I get there. You know, I really think that everything else will fade away when it comes we see Him. And we'll be just like Him. The presence of God will be there. Then we see in verse 4. Verse 4, the Bible says, "God shall wipe away all the tears from the eyes. There shall be no more sorrow, no death, no neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are faith, true and faithful." We see the promises of God. We'll be there. The promises of God. These verses tell us the precious truth that all the things that hinder and ruin life here will not be allowed there. Yeah, man. None of the things that bring tears to our eyes will be there. None of them. Even the tears themselves will forever be banished away. Yeah, man. He is, Charles Spurgeon said, "He, my God, is the ultimate tear wiper." And He sure enough is, friend. What a glorious future awaits the people of God. Amen. I'll be done in just a minute. Heaven is a genuine place. Heaven is a glorious place. Thirdly, heaven is a guarded place. Now we'll read this, but we'll just kind of go through it as we go. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "To inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's guarded for the saved. Guarded for the saved. This place is for the saved and the saved alone, friend. That's all it's for. Heaven is an exclusive place. Really, it has been created for a select group of individuals. I ain't going to go there. But only those with the proper credentials, if you will be able to get in this place. Amen. In fact, the entrance requirements are so strict that there is only one way to get there. Amen. They're strict. I mean, there's strict requirements to get into the gates of that city. But friend, can I tell you, the only way to get in there is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you got to ride the blood all the way there, friend. Amen. Listen, if anyone tries to get in any other way, they will forever be ejected from that city. There's only one door. John 10:9 says, He says, "I am the door." He's the door. He's the sheep gate. He's all of those things for us sheep to get in. And His name is Jesus. And He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And no man can get to the Father but through Him, friend. Amen. The only way to get to heaven is through faith in Him. You see, the fact about it is that you must be born again. John 3:3 and John 3:7 tells you that. You must be born again. This means that you must trust Jesus alone to save your soul. It's simple. And Him alone. Religion will not work. Church will not work. Being good will not work. The only thing that will work is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of people that got religion. But there's only few that's got relationship. And it takes that. And this place is guarded for the saved. It's guarded from sorrow. It's guarded from sorrow. I've already touched on this thought today, but you need to know that nothing from this world will be there. We can shout about that. Nothing will ever be there from this world. In fact, these two chapters, they're a list of things which are called the no more things. That's what I'm going to call them, at least. I don't know. But I'm going to call them the no more things. And there'll be no more sea, means division and separation. There'll be no more sadness. That's in verse 4. That means tears. There'll be no more sleep. And that's in verse 4. That means death, by the way, as well. Amen, friend. There'll be no more sorrow. That's in verse 4. There'll be no more sanctuary. That's in verse 22. There's going to be temples there. And there's Jesus and God Himself. There'll be no more sun. Verse 23, not needed. Don't worry, because Jesus is the light. Amen. And there'll be no more sundown. No night. And the light never goes off, thank God. I'm glad about it. Amen. I'm glad about it. Hallelujah. That sounds like a place I want to go. Amen. So we see that it's guarded for the saved, it's guarded from sorrow, and it's guarded from sin. I'm done after this one. Verse 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Verse 27, the last verse says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Friend, I'm glad about it tonight, that this place is guarded from sin. It tells us the precious truth. There'll be no sin there. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be none of that stuff there. What a blessing it will be to finally be free from sin.
Amen.
Finally be free from sin. I mean, I fight this fight every day. Just like you fight this fight. I do things I shouldn't do. I've done things I shouldn't do. But thank God the blood washes ever sin away.
Yeah.
And it can get me through the gates of that celestial city, friend. Yeah, man, I'm glad about it. Friend, listen, the marks of wickedness and wretchedness that marks this old sin-cursed world that we live in today, it will be gone. How wonderful it will be forever to be free from the presence of sin. Be free from the devil's temptations. Be free from the old flesh and all the sin thereof. Man, I'm glad that will be glorious. Don't you think so?
Amen.
However, as great as that will be, we must acknowledge the fact that there will be no sinners in heaven either. No sinners there. There will not be one single person who has denied the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. Not one. You see, God might as well allow the devil into heaven if He allows a sinner into that. I mean, that's just simple. They would defile that glorious city and bring it crashing down in ruins. That's what a sinner would do. Heaven would become hell if one sinner entered in. God has pledged to protect that city. He's pledged to protect that city from all wickedness and all sin. And the only way to enter into that place is if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Have you done that? I pray you have. If not, what are you holding on to? My friend, listen to me. Let me tell you. The Bible says in verse 36, verse 37, chapter 8 of the book of Mark, it says, "What doeth it profit if a man gain this whole world and lose his own soul?" Friend, I tell you, there's nothing worth missing heaven to keep. Nothing worth missing heaven to keep. That old rich young ruler couldn't get rid of it. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful. I'm done tonight. I read a commentary, an old commentary. I don't know if you've heard of him. You may have. His name is Matthew Henry. Read him quite often. And Matthew Henry wrote this concerning anticipating the fact that some would mourn his passing. He wrote these words of comfort and assurance, and this is what he said. "Would you like to know where I am? I am at home in my Father's house, and the mansion's prepared for me here. I'm where I want to be, no longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done and I am reaping. My joy is as the joy of harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I am perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory. Would you like to know what I am doing? I see God. Not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I am engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to Him who sits upon the throne. And I am constantly praising Him. Would you like to know what blessed company I keep? It is better than the best on earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances with whom I worked and prayed and who have come here before me. Lastly, do you not want to know how long this will continue? It is a dawn that never fades. After millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me. That's what Matthew Henry said. And I don't like to quote Billy Graham. I know, I know, I know. Y'all know I don't agree with Billy Graham, but listen to me. I like what Billy Graham wrote. I like what Billy Graham said before he passed away. And this is what he said, friend. He said, if you read in the paper that Billy Graham has passed away, don't believe it. I've just begun to live. You can stand to your feet tonight. I'm glad that that my Bible right here in my view at Revelation 22, it says the end. But friend, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Beloved, I ask you, I pray you know where you're going when you die. I pray you know where you're going when you go to heaven for all of its glory or when you go to hell. I hope you know. I hope you know tonight, and I'm glad that I know. Amen. And this is the look, a look at a place called heaven.